Hello, women's sports fans. This is Stephanie Perlberg and Kara Hawkins, and we are here with Women Talk Running, the very first Women Talk Sports podcast that is all about running. So I'll just introduce myself since I'm starting this out. I am the Communications and Resource Director at Women Talk Sports, and I am also a Media Studies graduate student on the side. I interview professional athletes for Youth Runner magazine. And I was a former Division III athlete. I focus on the steeplechase. And you might have read some of my posts back in the day when I was an undergrad running fast. Now I just run for fun. So, Kara, why don't you introduce yourself to us?
So my name is Kara Hawkins, like Stephanie said before, and I am the social media and the track and field editor at WTS, our Women Talk Sports. I was also a runner in college, not nearly as fast, but I was in Division II, so I had a really good time. I ran everything from the 4x4 and even attempted the steeplechase as a 5'1" athlete. Pretty
Nice.
tough. And if you have ever been on Twitter and talked to Women Talk Sports, you've probably talked to me.
Hello, women's sports fans. This is Stephanie Perlberg and Kara Hawkins, and we are here with Women Talk Running, the very first Women Talk Sports podcast that is all about running. So I'll just introduce myself since I'm starting this out. I am the Communications and Resource Director at Women Talk Sports. And I am also a media studies graduate student on the side. I interview professional athletes for Youth Runner magazine, and I was a former Division III athlete. I focus on the steeplechase. And you might have read some of my posts back in the day when I was an undergrad running fast. Now I just run for fun. So, Kara, why don't you introduce yourself to us?
So my name is Kara Hawkins, like Stephanie said before, and I am the social media and the track and field editor at WTS, our Women Talk Sports. I was also a runner in college, not nearly as fast, but I was in Division II, so I had a really good time. I ran everything from the 4x4 and even attempted the steeplechase as a 5'1" athlete. Pretty
Nice.
tough. And if you have ever been on Twitter and talked to Women Talk Sports, you've probably talked to me. So yeah, let's just go ahead and get started with today's show. Just a quick rundown of where we're going and what we're doing is we're going to first start off with the best and worst of the Olympics. Or secondly, we're going to go into the Caster Semenya, hopefully I said her name semi-right, 800 story. And finally, the Jones Harper Wells hurdle controversy.
Good stuff ahead.
Yes.
Good stuff. All right, cool. Well, so the best and the worst. I have to say the 1500 was, I think it had some best and worst because Shannon Roberry did awesome, but then we had Yusinee who fell again. Man, that sucks.
Yeah, I was watching in another room and someone thought I was basically having a heart attack because I gasped so loudly with the Yusinee fall. It is easy to overlook the Shannon Roberry doing so well. I do believe I read somewhere that it was like one of the best finishes by U.S. woman in the 1500 in a long time. It was also kind of disappointing not to see Jenny Simpson make it into the final.
I know. That
That
was heartbreaking.
was a little, I mean, Yusinee was definitely a little bit more heartbreaking, but not seeing Jenny Simpson being able to make it through, and she basically didn't have an excuse, she said. She was healthy, she felt good, she just couldn't move.
Yeah, she just had that interview with FloTrack where she said she was in good shape and it wasn't her day, which is hard to see happen with a runner who was the world champion. But she did point out that she is kind of new to the event in that she's only been racing it in like the international circuit for the past 2 years, I guess, which I mean, to me, I think you have enough experience, but you never know how it goes. We've both been there. You're supposed to do well, and then it just doesn't happen for you. So, really stinks. But Yusinee, I remember when I was listening to it, I was driving up to Superior, all you people from Wisconsin, and I was listening to it on my iPhone. Luckily, I had service at that time, and I heard them say that someone fell. I think it's Yusinee, and I was like, holy crap, this girl has the worst luck because she fell at the it was indoor world championship.
So yeah, let's just go ahead and get started with today's show. Just a quick rundown of where we're going and what we're doing is we're going to first start off with the best and worst of the Olympics. Or secondly, we're going to go into the Caster Semenya, hopefully I said her name semi-right, 800 story. And finally, the Jones-Harper-Wells hurdle controversy.
Good stuff ahead.
Yes.
Good stuff. All right, cool. Well, so the best and the worst. I have to say, the 1500 was, I think it had some best and worst because Shannon Roberry did awesome. But then we had Yusini, who fell again. Man, that sucks.
Yeah, I was watching in another room, and someone thought I was basically having a heart attack because I gasped so loudly with the Yusini fall.
Yeah.
It is easy to overlook the Shannon Roberry doing so well. I do believe I read somewhere that it was, like, one of the best finishes by U.S. woman in the 1500 in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It was also kind of disappointing not to see Jenny Simpson make it into the final.
I know. That is heartbreaking.
Yeah, that was a little, I mean, Yusini was definitely a little bit more heartbreaking, mm-hmm. but, you know, not seeing Jenny Simpson being able to make it through, and she basically didn't have an excuse, she said. She was healthy, she felt good, she just couldn't move.
Yeah. Yeah, she just had that interview with Flowtrack where she said she was in good shape and it wasn't her day, which is hard to see happen with a runner who was the world champion. But she did point out that she is kind of new to the event in that she's only been racing it in, like, the international circuit for the past 2 years, I guess. Which, I mean, to me, I think you have enough experience, but you never know how it goes. We've both been there. You're supposed to do well, and then it just doesn't happen for you. So,
yeah,
really stinks. But Yusini, I remember when I was listening to it, I was driving up to Superior, all you people from Wisconsin, and I was listening to it on my iPhone. Luckily, I had service at that time, and I heard them say that someone fell. I think it's Yusini. And I was like, holy crap, this girl has the worst luck because she fell at it was indoor world championships, right? Or was it outdoor?
Outdoor World Championships. It was, like, pretty darn close to what happened this time around. It was, yeah. It was heartbreaking to see, especially because she tried so hard to stay out of everybody's way.
Yeah, she was, and maybe being so concerned about not falling ended up somehow playing a role in it. Although, when you watch the tape, it's hard to tell if she got clipped from behind or if she clipped the person in front of her. What did you think happened there?
There was a whole explanation on Let's Run that seemed pretty exact. What happened was that someone behind her had a move, and they kind of set off a chain reaction, it looked like. I'm going to reference Let's Run if this is wrong, just because I can say it's the Let's Run message boards.
Okay.
And so it kind of started off a chain reaction, and if you watch, she had to kind of move out of the way, but at the same time that made the runner in front of her kind of clip Yusini's calf.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I watched it and I could see that, but at the same time it also looked like Yusini was just got piled up. And one of the things that there's a couple of posts saying, you know, there are ways of preventing a fall, and that is to take the race out fast enough. Don't leave it to a kicker's race.
Yeah.
And you won't have that problem.
But at the Olympic Games or any kind of championship race, that is how it is run. Like, I don't think that will ever change. People just wait until the final lap and they go. So that's the name of the game, too. It's like someday it's not your day, and someday you fall or you get injured. Something can outside of your control could happen. And I think if she would have taken the race out faster and didn't wait for it to be a kicker's race, I don't see her doing any better. I feel like she probably would have died because you can't run that type of race on that stage.
Especially with the girls that were in, the women, excuse me, that were in that race.
Yeah.
I mean, Shannon Roberry, there's a very good video on Flowtrack. Just pump them up. And they talked to Shannon Roberry. And the problem with this race was that there was two drug cheats. are previous people who've been suspended for doping allegations.
Yeah.
And so Shannon Roberry was very excited that she was able to at least hang with those people kicking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the first and fourth have both been, you know, have both been banned. One is a junior and one just recently.
Yeah.
So, you know, even in a race like this, when you have people that you don't know if they're basically invincible because of what they're doing, a kicker's race is going to be better for you because at least you have a chance type situation.
Right.
I think than someone who, you know, is just, I don't know exactly how drugs work. So pardon me if, you know,
you don't?
I'm thinking,
you know,
I haven't been doping for a couple of years.
Jeez, you know, Division 2, I don't know what's up with you guys.
I know, we don't. I mean, at our point, we just have a good time. but, you know, when you have, it's still about, if you make it more about race tactics, it's going to be a little easier to outthink, I think, people that have the drug suspension. So I could see a kicker's race, yeah. You know, just thinking that at that point. That was the other worst part of the 1500 for me was, once I saw the winner, it was, like, hard for me to even be excited about the winner.
Yeah. And they've been calling out people, like, the thrower. She's caught. They stripped her medal from her. So who knows what's going to happen with any of those runners if they do find out that they still have any drugs in them. But you have to think, like, if they've had that in the past, who knows if it still gives them an advantage, you know? You can't tell how it works in the body, how they were able to train differently than people who weren't using any type of drugs. So it was outstanding to see Roberry come in where she did, and she really had an awesome race. It would have just been that much cooler if Usainee was there. And it was,
yeah.
God, watching her on the track so in devastation was horrifying. It's like she was instantly just like slammed her fist to the ground, like, I can't even imagine what that would have been like. That was awful.
Yeah, and there's been a few people calling her a crybaby and telling her to just get back up and run. And she's actually pretty injured. It didn't look like it from the outside, but mm-hmm. she actually just dropped out of this last race she was supposed to run because she's still having problems with her hips and her spine because she did hit that hard.
Yeah, she really slammed the ground, it looked like.
Yeah, but I've actually, this is a very long backstory, but I was actually tripped in a regional meet back in high school in the 800, and I was in the last 200 meters probably.
Uh-huh.
And sadly, it was by my own teammate,
oh,
which
God.
Was, yeah, it was not a very good team atmosphere for a while. But I understand the pain. And it's just really hard when you see it slip away. I was trying to make it to the next stage, and I literally saw, you know, the two girls run ahead of me and get the automatic qualifying
and you were
points,
out.
And I was out. I did get back up and run a 4x4 and make it to the next round, but that was ran on pure anger. But, yeah, I mean, she slammed a lot harder than I did, and, I mean, I had to, like, kind of just roll into the infield. So I can imagine, you know, what it feels like for her to have slam on such a bigger stage.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, and, you know, just seeing, you know, seeing the parallel between this has happened to American women earlier. God, I cannot remember her name right now. Decker.
Oh yeah. Mary
Decker.
Stanley Decker.
Right? Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it happened to her too. So it was weird to see they had a picture of the two lined up.
Yeah, I saw that. It was also on, like, the anniversary of some,
yeah.
Like, some anniversary of 10 or 20 years. I don't know how many years it was, but, yeah, that is super crazy. And then you have to think, like, the people who are saying that she was being a crybaby, I don't know. When you get on that stage and you know you're 100% out of the race, I think it might just be a bonus for you to get up and finish the race.
Yeah.
You know, to be, because it's part of the Olympic atmosphere, to just suck it up and keep going. But, I mean, I can't say that if that would have happened to me that I would have continued, I would have gotten up to race, you know? That takes a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I had it happen to me in high school, and I did not get back up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it did, you know, someone walked me off, and I did get cleaned up and come back for a later race, but you know, at that point in time, I could not finish that 800 without just tears streaming from my eyes. So I understand on that part.
Yeah. And it's like a split second decision. You're on the ground and it's like, what are you supposed to do? So by the time you make a decision, they're halfway around and it's like, is there a point to keep going? But
yeah.
But let's talk about some other
let's move on to happier topics.
What do you got?
So let's go with their sprints. They basically, the USA sprints kind of kicked ass.
Dominated.
Yeah, all the way around. I was really excited to see, I'm a big Sonia Richards-Ross fan. I was very excited to see her get her gold medal.
God, she looks like it's, like, effortless every time she runs. Like, 400s should not look that easy. It's awesome. But she put in the work, and she rolled that. It was amazing.
Yeah.
She was fantastic.
Yeah, it was, I mean, and she's so well-spoken, too. I always love hearing interviews with her. And I am going to say this. I do think a gold medal outdoes a Super Bowl ring, so can we stop hearing about her husband's Super Bowl rings? Because
yeah,
I really
please.
The gold medal.
Her ring, or her gold medal, is, like, probably 10 times the size of his Super Bowl ring, so, and probably worth more, too, but.
Yeah, I'm going to say she wins that race, or, well, yeah, she would win a race, maybe against him. I don't know.
That would be awesome if they had a race-off. Because they were talking about having a race-off between some football guy and Usain Bolt, because all these football guys were saying that they could beat him in a 40, which I would pay to see that. I would also pay to see Sonia Richards race her hubby. And then, going back to Usain Bolt, and Sonia Richards, did you see when Usain Bolt, I forget which race he won, but the camera people came up to him and just wanted to interview him live, and he was like, is Sonia getting her award? And because he heard the national anthem, and they were like, yeah, I think so, and he's like, are we live here during the interview? And the woman was like, yeah. So he turned around and waited for Sonia Richards to accept her award and finish the national anthem, and then went back to the interview, which I thought was super classy of any athlete, but Usain Bolt and a male athlete who's the top of his event. I just thought that was super awesome that he gave her props because she deserved it. But
yeah, that was super classy move by Bolt. We might actually be able to see that race off between her and her husband because she does have a reality show coming on soon.
What?
Yes, it is on, I feel like it's on the Oxygen Network. It might not be. If you remember earlier, they did do she did a wedding special.
Yeah.
On her wedding. It's whatever network that is. But yeah, she is going to have her own reality TV show, and I might have to switch from watching the Kardashians to definitely watching her.
How could you not make the switch?
I'm going to have to. I mean, there's no way I can't stand Kim anymore. So,
and she can't run nearly as fast. She's got nothing.
She just dates athletes anyways. I'd rather see a real athlete.
Yeah, I hear ya. That would be, honestly, that would be pretty monumental for women's sports in general to have a female athlete be on a reality TV show, because most of them are housewives that are dating athletes like Kim Kardashian. So that's awesome.
Yeah, so it will be on WETV.
Okay.
And it's been picked up as a pilot based on a reality show based on her live training for the Olympics and her husband. So the good thing is, since it has been picked up, we'll get to see the behind the scenes of the Olympics, which will be really cool.
That is awesome. So everyone should go to that station, what is it again?
WETV.
WETV, and watch it so that it gets picked up for a whole season, because we want to watch that shit and we know you do too. So get on it, people.
So kind of moving back to the sprints, did you watch the 4x1? I'm assuming you watched the 4x1.
Yes.
That was amazing.
Yeah, man. I think all the relays did fabulous, but yeah, it was amazing to see those women work together, and when they cross the finish line, you could really see the camaraderie between them, which I thought was the most amazing thing.
Yeah, especially with, I read before there had been a little bit of, I guess, anxiety or a little bit of craziness within that group, the relay pool, just because of they weren't going to give Tarmel a chance in the final.
Mm-hmm.
They let her run the prelims, but then she wasn't going to run the final. And a lot of people found that a little bit unfair.
Yeah.
But if you did go back, they did test her out earlier, and her handoffs weren't great at a Diamond League meet. So right. That might have been part of it.
Did you hear anything? I mean, it seemed like the dynamic was between those that raced, it seemed like it was pretty solid. So hopefully that whole thing got
Yeah,
situated.
I think it did get kind of pushed over. I mean, the athletes that were in there, they ran a world record, so you can't really argue that.
Yeah.
And they defeated a Russian record, which I hate to say, but the Russian women for a while were kind of
On
doped up.
drugs?
Yeah, so it was impressive. And the women who ran it, ran their hearts out. And it also made Allyson Felix the first woman to, or the second woman to have three gold medals in one
Olympics.
Olympics.
Yeah, she was fabulous. It was amazing to see her win the 200, and she got recognition. I don't know if you saw that commercial for Visa
Yeah.
where they go through her in the past two Olympics just missing out on gold in that event, and then finally she got it. But she is like a class act athlete, perfect like person to sponsor because she doesn't get into trouble. She's pleasant to talk to, and she's super fast. So it was just great to see her be a part of the 4x1, the 200, and just represent USA. So
I did not see one interview almost the whole entire time with any of the American athletes that I was like cringing at. And that made me just made me happy that we were able to put ourselves out there.
well,
Well,
we'll talk about what was that? Sorry.
mostly well spoken.
Yes, I would agree. There was, and we'll talk about this in story number three a little bit between the hurdlers, because some people thought that there was a little bit of tension between Wells, Jones, and Harper. Well, Jones wasn't in the interview, but between kind of like Harper and Wells, but we'll get to that. But
We'll
other
get
than
to
that,
that.
yes.
Yeah. I guess kind of we've looked over the sprints. We did well. I really think it was a smart move. Distance is improving, which is good. I think in almost every event, I know in the 10K they all ran very well, close to their PRs.
Right, and close together, which was cool to see.
Yeah. Our field events, we need some improvement in there. I really think if we put a little bit more, the US puts a little bit more backing. I mean, we did get a gold in the pole vault with Jen
Right.
Schur, but the throwing events we didn't do quite as well as we wanted to. There's a great blog up by Kara Patterson talking about her ACL tear for the javelin and how she threw on it still at the Olympics, which is a little heartbreaking to like have to read and
Yeah.
very kind of makes me cringe.
Check that out on Women Talk Sports.
Yeah, she's up there all the time. She's great to talk to. But, in the jumps, we did very well in the high jump. But I really think, triple jump, we had one athlete go. And I really think we could use a little bit more push behind maybe a triple jump movement to try to get more medals there or just to be able to do better.
Yeah, and it's hard because we have such domination in the sprints that, and I mean the culture behind distance running is so strong, but on the world stage it just doesn't resonate as well. There's just so many athletes that are so strong, but I do think getting even more press to the throws and to the jumps and stuff will end up helping them in some way, just build up some passion towards it. Who knows what can happen from there? But if you have support, I think it really helps those athletes to compete as best as they can and try and do well. I don't know. I just that's one thing that should be coming in the future where we see a little bit more of that. So
Yeah, I mean, it just takes, inspiring one young girl right now to try out a field event instead of, trying out for a different team
exactly.
and, doing it. And, there's an interesting conversation going on because a lot of the world records have not been broken for the jumps in a while.
Yeah.
And it's because you can make more money as a semi-good sprinter
Right.
than you can as a world champion
'Cause they're in,
jumper.
yeah, they get the shots on TV. They're just personalities 'cause that's how the US works, so.
Yeah, so it'd be good to see a little bit more come out of that. I am going to bring up one random stat that I did get, and that is if the Olympics had been scored as a track and field meet on the women's side, we would have won, but it would have come down to the 4x4 against the Russians. Would have
Yeah.
been really good if it would have been scored. I can imagine a lot of us yelling at the TV.
Yeah. That That's awesome. We overall, I just think, especially in track and field, the marathon that, you know, didn't pan through for us, but the sprints held it up for everyone on the running side, and it was awesome to see. So I do have a random thought. Did you hear Amy Hastings is leaving her group in Mammoth?
Yeah, that's big news. And I know you guys, we're going to talk on our other podcast too, to a former Olympian, but I wonder, you know, is it when you don't have the performance that you want at the Olympics that you suddenly make a coaching change, or was it something that was in the works before and she was just waiting till the Olympics were over type situation?
The article that came out about it doesn't really go in too much about that, but it would be interesting to see when she made that decision. I kind of feel like both played a part. I feel like she probably talked to Desi, who was her teammate at Arizona, about this at some point. Amy Hastings was known as like the next Dina Caster, and Dina Caster, I know she's going to run more marathons, but I don't think we'll ever see her. We won't see her at the next Olympic Games. So it could just be some of those people are dropping back, and so she has to make a change. I don't know how the Hansons Brooks, which is who she's looking to join, I don't know how that will work for her, but it'll definitely be interesting to see. So,
and there's also rumors about Gag's group, too, I think, which he's done a great job. So, you know, either one of those would probably be a pretty good fit. And, you know, there are all other people leaving that Mammoth Track Club. I'm pretty sure Angela Bazzari is also leaving.
Yep.
So she could be losing out on training partners,
which is forcing her to make this decision. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think Bazzari was kind of training as a 5K runner, 1500 runner. I know she was doing, at least from the flow track videos that I've watched, she did a lot of her training with Anna Pierce and Usani. So, you know.
And Anna Pierce, I just feel like they need to go back to the steeple. That's what
and Jenny, yeah, I know. But we did have a pretty strong steeple showing for the women. It wasn't as good as our men's side, but, I mean, they are so young.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it'll
be interesting to see how in 4 to 8 years, whether those athletes are going to leave, like Simpson left and Anna Pierce, because they really were U.S. steeplechase. And it was a young event, but it would be awesome if some of those top athletes stuck with it and really developed the sport. And there is still so much depth that needs to come from the event. So hopefully some of those women will either go back to it, i.e. Jenny Simpson, you should, or some of the buffs that were there.
I would love to see Emma Coburn just continue with it. She's a very marketable athlete, I think. So, you know, continue with it and continue to grow. But they all did. They did better than expected, I think. So it was good to see that, you know. And both of us are steeple fans, so it's kind of hard for us to watch and be like, oh, man, we had better athletes.
I know. Well, it's hard just because 15, it is just such a niche event, and not everyone can do it. So when you see someone who is fabulous at it, you just want them to stick with it. And it's only been an Olympic event for women since 2008. So there's so much depth and it could grow so much more. And it would be really cool if the U.S. kind of made the way and pushed for that to happen. But Coburn, Franek, might be able to do that themselves. So they're a pretty stellar group.
Maybe we'll get Ann Gaffigan back for the next one.
Yeah, and Annie G, get back there.
So let's kind of move on to our next story a little bit. I'll let you introduce this because I think you know a little bit more up front than I do on this story.
Okay, well, we're talking about Caster Semenya, who took silver in the 800 meter at the Olympic Games. There's been a ton of posts about her because obviously she had to go through, she had that gender issue back in, I think it was 2010, 2011.
Almost as early as 2009, I think.
Oh my gosh, okay, the years fly by. 2009-ish. So, what we kind of want to talk about here is her just getting the silver medal. I mean, did you watch the race?
Yeah, I kind of focused a little bit more on the Americans at that point.
Okay.
But yeah, I did watch the race. I really think she could have moved a little bit earlier, and she did not look as dominating as I had seen her earlier races, before everything kind of blew up.
Yeah. It's hard for me to say this, but it's not really that hard. I think that she totally took second on purpose. I don't think she ran to win the race because I think that would have gotten her too much publicity. People would have questioned her gender again, and I think she waited until last possible minute and pulled up before she could have. I mean, there was no chance she was going to win when she started to make her move, but I don't know. I just think the way she when she finished the race, it did not seem like she was winded at all. And it's hard because when you watch any race, you think, okay, they're not going that fast, or it looks very easy for them. But I've seen her race in the past. It always seems effortless, but there was no way with what she had left that if she would have left at like the 200-meter mark and started to kick, she would have creamed people. And I just think she ran for second place. That's all I got.
Yeah. It's kind of hard because I don't have like a very formed opinion on there. So there's a couple of what ifs in my mind. I first of all, I would not blame her if she decided to run for second. She got just so she went through so much stuff,
Oh,
so
yeah.
much just awful stuff, being scrutinized by the public. I saw someone calling it basically a public rape. And to me, I would not blame her at all to not go through with it. Secondly, maybe it was just a tactical error on her part. Maybe she, just wasn't thinking right, and all of a sudden the 200 was gone, and she was like, "Oh, I should kick now, and let's see if I can take it." But she looked so happy with second that it was a little hard for me to believe that she,
Didn't want to win.
yeah. And then finally, maybe the treatments are having a little bit more effect on her than we think. I don't know exactly what they're doing. I know it's hormone injections, I'm pretty sure. And I mean, I've talked to a couple of my track and field friends at I work at a running store, so you guys can imagine. And we were even kind of commenting that she does look a little bit more like a woman. And I hate to judge somebody like that, but you're trying to see, maybe that was why she, maybe they're having more of an effect than we think. But she's been so up and down too the past couple of seasons with times that it almost does make you wonder if she is trying to stay out of the limelight.
And I wouldn't blame her for doing that either. I think having to go through all of that again, or even if she would have won, people would have said, well, she has more testosterone than the women that are out there. So I don't even think her winning it, she would have been, it would have felt like she won it. I think people would have hated on it and wouldn't have given her the credit that she possibly deserves for winning gold. And there are huge issues, and it kind of her situation just plain out sucks because there's no, I just don't feel like there's a way to get around it. And she really is a spectacular talent, but I don't think that they're being as transparent about what she is going through in order to make her, I guess, not eligible to race with women, but they're obviously doing something like the hormone injections, like I heard, but it just seems like everything is kind of like under the radar, kind of hush hush. So people are going to have those questions because they don't know what her deal is. We don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard too, I think, to put all that out there in general because she is a person, and so like staying at hush, I understand the need for transparency, but it is, I mean, it's her gender that they're talking about, so it's hard, to say no, they need to put more out there. I feel like there needs to be, and I don't know if there is ever going to be a point to this, but where we're gonna like be like, okay, she's done enough, she's sacrificed enough of her privacy for us to know.
But she's a part of this sport, and it's like if you're gonna race, if they found an issue and you're racing with women, I just, for the sake of all the women that she's racing against, I feel like it's not like I need to know her whole business, but I don't think
Yeah.
there's enough that has come out to make it clear, which is why I question that she really gave it her all. And I know her situation totally sucks. I'd never want to be in that position. And I'm sure
Yeah.
it's been very difficult for her and her family. But I think about the other women in the race and how that would also feel. It's just, there's so many different ways to look at it, and it's
Yeah.
just a very difficult topic.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I agree with you there too, being the other woman in the race, it's going to be hard. The Olympic Committee or whoever's in charge, IAAF, it needs to have some guidelines. It needs to know. Something that I was reading that was kind of interesting is that women with these kind of gender issues do tend to gravitate towards sports. So you do see more issues in sports because of the testosterone that they're getting. I'm not quite sure what article I saw, but they do gravitate more towards sports. So, I mean, this issue has been around for a while. They used to feel like it was, well, maybe not in the German, one of the German Olympics, they actually had, you know, they would check you by you parading around naked to make sure you're a woman. Funny story, randomly, I did watch a documentary a long time ago, though, that the Germans did sneak a man into the high jump.
Oh my God.
During the German Olympics, and they did compete. So, I mean, there is a reason to have those checks, but, I don't know if it was into the Olympic, well, they into the Olympics or into the qualifiers, but they put this person through instead of a Jewish qualifier at that point in time. So that was about the whole documentary. I wish I had the name for you. It was something that I watched on HBO, so I'm sure it's out there.
Yeah. I mean, with those type of issues, there's a lot of talk, and I've spoken to a female baseball player about this, about not making sports divided by gender, but just talent. So if Sonia Richards is faster than some of the men who are running the 400 meter, to find that out because everyone would be running together. So it doesn't matter whether you're male or female, and that would eliminate the problems with people who have higher amounts of testosterone. I mean, I don't think that's the way sport is going to end up, although there's lots of discussions about that being talked about right now with everything that's going on with, like, gender issues in sports, especially with female athletes. But I think that would be really the only way to combat this kind of issue and make it an even playing field. But life isn't fair, and so, you know, there's, until that happens, there's, like, really nothing we can do except, I don't know.
Scrutinize, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the checking and the double checking. That being said, it will be interesting to watch her. I do think she'll probably end up in Rio. See how this kind of, see how her times kind of go, and just see how she makes it to that point.
I mean, 4 years away, there's lots that could happen in between here and now, but I'm guessing, like you, she'll be there. And it will be very interesting to see how she approaches that race and when she starts her kick. Because if she's having issue on large stages like World Championships and the Olympic Games with going for gold, but she doesn't at other points, then I'll say my theory was correct.
Yes, I will agree 100% with you. So let's kind of move on to this Jones, Harper, Wells, we'll even throw in Sally Pearson into this controversy.
All right. So I don't know, did you see the interview on today's show where, like, the three of them were speaking, and Harper got some kind of, she mentioned on Twitter that a lot of people were hating on her for, she mentioned something about Wells and that she was surprised to see Wells next to her in the race towards the finish. Did you see that at all?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that. I guess I'm going to back up just a little bit to explain a little bit more what we're talking about.
Okay.
But, so there's a really good post by Joanna Hayes on our website about, is this a controversy or a hype? But basically what's been happening is Lolo Jones, because of basically her personality, I'm going to say her personality and a little bit of other things, is getting a lot more attention for being fourth place at the Olympics and not actually getting a medal.
And this happened in the past, too, where she got more hype for not winning. Yeah.
For not winning. And over Harper and Wells, Harper feels like it's basically been her whole career that Lolo Jones has been over her. And even more so, Sally Pearson, who actually won the whole thing, not in her home country as much, but overall is getting less attention than Lolo Jones. And I guess what we're going to be kind of discussing, you know, the controversy in itself, and also, you know, is it fair for an athlete to get more attention when they're not performing as well as other athletes?
Point, this is, I mean, pretty out there, but I don't think life is fair, and Lolo Jones is a marketing dream. She's good looking. She has run really well. She has the American record in the 100-meter hurdles, correct?
Pretty sure. Someone can check us on that.
Yeah, I thought that's what she said in the interview, but... And then she doesn't say too much that's controversial, although she has done the ESPN body issue. And then just before the Olympics, or the Olympic trials, I believe, she announced that she was a virgin. So she's got all these things, you know, that make her the American dream. She grew up very poor in Iowa. She had to steal for her food. So she's pretty much the story of success coming from basically nothing. So she's got all these things going for her. And I don't know, I haven't really heard any stories about Harper or Wells that could compare to what Jones has. So, I mean, I think it sucks because I like both of those women. I think they are like, they've got such talent. And I know Harper especially, she went on several news stations, I think, and talked about this issue. And I think she's being pretty open about it. And maybe that's her way of getting some media attention is by, discussing this issue so outright. But I don't know. It's marketing, and if Jones has got the goods, I don't know. I don't see them being like, "Oh, you fell at the Olympics and everyone's talking about you, but we're not going to sign you for something." And you're into marketing, so what do you think?
Well, Lolo Jones is actually one of my athletes I've used several times in papers to talk about how social media can actually help you marketing-wise. She's got a ton of Twitter fans. She's very charismatic. She responds well with them. It's a very good back and forth. So she does make herself marketable. That is one of my points that I think all athletes who are in the running business just because it is so hard to get sponsorships should make themselves marketable. I mean, there's some things you can do and there's some things you can't do. And like, you can't get prettier technically or better looking. But you can put yourself out there. You can start a blog. You can have Twitter. You can, do one-on-one conversations with the fans and listen to them. And that's something she does well. I'm going to, put that out there. But I also think the media is kind of building this up more than what it should be. They get Harper, Wells, and Pearson on the Today Show, and if I remember correctly, they pretty much ask them mostly about Lolo Jones the whole entire time. There's no reason to do that.
I know,
These
yeah.
girls won medals, and someone could say this is a little bit of a race issue because, Lolo, I hate saying this as a white girl, so please don't hate on me.
Yeah.
But, Lolo is lighter skinned. Pearson's, white, and she's not getting any,
Yeah.
So, that was my thought on that. Like, maybe within that African American community, maybe. But, Pearson's white. If anyone's gonna be getting marketing deals, it should be her, technically.
Right, for winning. And
For winning,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, that's tough because even in the interview, because Lolo Jones had that separate interview where
Where she
she was,
cried,
yeah,
yeah.
she was crying and she was saying that the media has really like basically told her she was the Sharapova of track and field. And if you know anything about Maria Sharapova, she does a lot of modeling. And so, I mean, I think this year she's been like doing fairly well in the tennis world, but prior to that it seemed like she wasn't as good as everyone made her out to seem. So like you would see her in all these commercials or advertisements and you would just assume that she must be like the best in the world. And at that time she had some success, but she definitely like wasn't winning Wimbledon. So I don't know, I just think that she kind of took that as an offensive thing, meaning that she was more attractive than successful. And it's hard to say whether she scrutinizes the media for that, if that's appropriate, because the media also helped her so much with making her well known to people. So that's a tough one.
The media is just hard to deal with in any situation, I think.
Yeah.
And they like drama and they like to create drama. So, you need to have good PR, PR coaching and kind of try to make yourself remove that from the situation. And I think Joanna Hayes kind of does a good job talking about that in her article. There's 31 comments on it too, so there's plenty more to discuss. But, I think my thought is Lolo Jones has made herself marketable. She has opinions. She's a little bit like Hope Solo too. They have gone out there to make themselves marketable and relate to a larger public. People are
And
gonna listen.
what both of them have in common is they take their emotions right after things happen and they go with it. So you can see that from Hope Solo right after the game, she's tweeting something that, someone's gonna get mad about. And then Lolo Jones came on TV the following day and was crying about this whole media thing. So I think that also is what draws people to them because you never know what you're going to get, you know? They're just using, they're going off of emotions.
Yeah, and that's going to be something fun to follow. But I think, both those athletes do a good job of marketing themselves, and that's where it's coming from. Should Harper and Wells probably get a little bit more respect from the media on their wins, along with Pearson? Yeah, probably. I think it's rude of the media to talk about Lolo the whole time when you've won something like that. I mean, Matt Lauer has never made me madder in my life, so, because usually he makes me laugh. Yeah, I
You
was,
fell
it's,
through, Matt. Come on.
come on, Matt. It frustrated me just a little bit. And I think you should be judged on your performance, but Lolo's isn't bad. So it's hard, being fourth in the world is not a bad spot, but, give respect to the ones who won medals and ask them the questions that need to be asked. And as a member of the media, like I would have never asked that question and I probably would have never gotten the story that got 1 billion clicks, but I would have, done something to respect the athletes.
And I think that's part of the thing. They know what is going to get people talking, and it is talking about Lolo. And so you do have to, as a media, personality, that is kind of a challenge because obviously you want people to be watching, but people were watching anyways. It would have been cool to get to know these other women who clearly haven't gotten their, time in the spotlight, which they deserve.
Yeah, and going on off the stories, Kelly Wells had, I think, a more recent issue of Runner's World. She had a horrible childhood. She was abused. She has a story too. I mean, there are other stories in this. And I think this every single time the Olympics come around, they just pick and choose what stories to play. And there's so many other stories they could be telling.
And
So,
you just have to be lucky.
yeah, exactly. And I'm going to say this again, Lolo and Hope are both pretty girls too, are girls that are more marketable on looks. So, they are going to get a little bit more attention, say over even, hate to bring so much soccer in, but like Abby Wambach's not going to get as much. Well, she does because of her performance,
Which is awesome, but
which
that
is,
does play a role.
yeah, it does play a role. Alex Morgan gets a ton of attention too, because she is also attractive. So you kind of have to, know that. And it's sad that women are judged that way, but men
But
are
I
judged
think on
that
the
way too, so.
yeah, I think men are judged that way. I mean, Beckham, he's
Oh,
like the
yeah.
Sharapova of soccer too. It just is far more evident in on the women's side, which stinks, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think they're gonna be talking about Lolo Jones after she's done competing, which well, they probably will bring her in at some point. I don't know. They
They'll
just
probably
love
bring her
that
in as
girl.
a commentary somewhere along the way.
Yeah, they probably will. We probably will never not see her at a world championship or Olympic game because the media really just loves that woman.
Yeah, they do, but I feel like, there's certain media, if you work with the media, they're gonna love you a little bit more. I know when I worked on at FloTrack, Jenny Simpson was very open with us. She got a lot of, we would interview her whenever we could because, she would go and have dinner, sit down and have dinner with us. So you kind of have to like think about that too.
And if you're kind of standoffish, it's just not going to happen.
No.
So, all right. Well, that's what we have for our first Women Talk Runnings podcast. So we will be coming back at you with the Women Talk Sports podcast. So look for it. But thank you so much for joining us. And if you have any questions, comments, or you want to give us a pat on the back, you can email us at podcast@womentalksports.com. And be sure to visit womentalksports.com for all of these stories that we talked about and many more.
And we're on Facebook and Twitter. I
Oh,
will
yeah,
respond.
speedo. All right, we will be back at you next month.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.